to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And would you also, with Luke 23, pick up John chapter 17. Luke 23 and John chapter 17. Let me give you a doctrinal Bible study that will be practical also. Luke 23 and John chapter 17. The last act and action of our Lord Jesus Christ while He was in human flesh is depicted in Luke chapter 23. Look with me, if you would, at verse 46 while you're holding your place in John chapter 17. It says this, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." Think about that just for a moment. Father, into Thy hands I commend. Commend means to commit, or if you would, to entrust. And know what He's saying? Father, here it is. It's the time when I'm ready to give this ghost up and leave this life. And as far as humans know, I'm going to die. And He says, into Your hands, Father, I entrust my spirit. I'm giving You everything at the end. And it was an example to us, brethren. And isn't it nice to know this morning that those of us who are saved on our way to a heaven, if you would, that when death comes knocking at our doorstep, that we can entrust the most important thing that we have, our spirit, into the hands of somebody who's never lost anybody yet. May I say to you this morning, brethren, that this is our example, but Jesus is a little different than we were. Hold your place in Luke chapter 23 and go, if you would, to John chapter 17. Holding your place back in Luke 23, John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, doctrinally, let's remember something, and you might want to write some scriptures down. I'll tell you why. It's one thing to know them, it's another thing to be able to teach them. John 17, it says this in verse 5. "And now, O Father," verse 5, "glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Now, brother, you know what that tells us? That Jesus was with the Father before the world ever began. He existed with the Father before time ever came into existence. You say, I know that, but there's something important to that. Look at John chapter 16 and notice verse 28. Verse 28. "I came forth from the Father." You see, He was with the Father before the world began. He existed before He came into human flesh. And He says, "I came forth," Jesus said it, "from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." And may I say this, brethren, He came in not as we came in. We came in differently. You say, what was the difference? He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He came into this world sinless. Brethren, we didn't come in sinless. We came in already in sin. You say, why? Because the seed of Abraham is where we came. I'm sorry, the seed of Adam is where we came from. And Adam's sin carries on. Brethren, I don't want to tell you something that you make you discouraged, but we were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. I've got to say this. Jeff and Mary, Grandpa and Grandpa, I've got to tell you something. That little child, you say, now wait a minute, is there grace? Oh yeah. There's a lot of grace, but I just want you to know that that child came in like we came in. Yeah. And there's no way around it because Adam is the one who sinned, and everybody that came in after Adam inherited his sin. Is that right? Right. You say, well, what happened with the last Adam? He didn't come in through the seed of man. He came in from the seed of God. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was born sinless. Is that correct? And He came in, and therefore not having sin, He lived a life. He suffered like we suffered in human flesh. He lived perfectly to the law. And then when it was time, He left. But may I say this? He left through death. Anybody ever been through death yet? Let me ask that again. You say, now, is that a trick question? Anybody ever been through physical death yet? If you raise your hand, don't come see me. You know what the honest truth is? None of us here have yet experienced physical death. Nobody's an expert. And may I say to anybody you talk to in this world is not an expert either. They've never experienced it either.
In fact, brethren, that's why God left us a book, so we could understand more what happens at physical death, so we could get prepared for it. Oh, what a morbid thought to think about, you know, getting ready for physical death. No, what a glorious thought when you're saved and you're going through death to get to the Father. No, it's a wonderful thing, really. You say, how do you know? You've ever been there? Nope. But I trust the book. Look back at Luke 23. Stay with me. Luke 23. And in Luke chapter 23, look what he says. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father. Remember, he had come from the Father, and now he's getting ready to go back to the Father through the transition of death. Father, into thy hands I command, I commit, I entrust my spirit. And having said thus, verse 46, what did he do? He gave up the what? The ghost. Hold your place in Luke 23, and let me show you scripturally about that. Look at James chapter 2. You're holding Luke 23 and James chapter 2. You say, man, are we going to study the Bible? That's what we come for, amen. James chapter 2. And also, would you look at Genesis 35? You're going to hear all kinds of people say all kinds of things, and it's good to know scripturally what happens at death. James chapter 2 and Genesis 35, holding your place in Luke chapter 23. You're going to go out there and somebody's going to say, well, you know, what do you think about the idea of, you know, that we came from a past life and we, you know, we're reincarnated. If we do well, we go into a higher life. And if we don't do well, we turn into a fly, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can say this, I've never experienced death, but let me show you what the book says. Yeah. Let me show you what the Bible says. And let me show you about what somebody wrote who's already been through it. Now, by faith, you have to believe that, but brethren, may I say this? I believe more of this is more reasonable and more something that I can accept by faith than turning into a fly. James chapter 2, look at it if you would. In James chapter 2, notice one little verse, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is what?
Dead.
Just stop right there. So what death is this? When the body and the spirit separate, that's what death is. Better yet, when the spirit separates from the body, then the body is dead. But the spirit continues to exist. Statement. You look at me. I know I'm not much to look at. Good. You're being kind this morning. What you see in this body and flesh, and what I see in your body as flesh, is just something that's housing you. It's just something that's containing my spirit. But when I come to the place where my time is over, this body will lay down limp and fall down because the very life of the body is gone. The spirit is gone. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Look at Genesis 35. Stay with me. You say this is basic and simple, but we ought to be able to turn to scriptures and show them. Amen. Genesis chapter 35. The spirit and the soul go hand in hand. And in Genesis chapter 35, not to confuse the issue, but look at verse 18. Genesis 35, 18. God put this in here for a reason. And it came to pass, verse 18 in Genesis chapter 35, as her soul was in what? Say it. Departing. Where was it departing from? Her body. As her soul was in departing, and then it says in parentheses, for she what? So death is the spirit and the soul departing from the body. Is that right? You go to a funeral. You look at that body laying in the casket, and I understand the grief and the sorrow. But if that person is saved, we know that they've just graduated. Is that right? That spirit and the soul has left that body, and the body is left limp, and is already absent from the body and present where? With the Lord. If they're saved. Is that right? Now, if you would, go back to Luke 23. Luke 23. You say, man, why do you go over there? Because we've got people that are still learning about certain things in Christianity, and we've also got people that need to be able to teach it to other people, and therefore it's good to stir it up in remembrance again. Look at Luke 23, and notice, if you would, verse 46. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, watch, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. You know what he did, brethren? He died. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together into that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Now notice, if you would, verse 50. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He's a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, which also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the what? The body of Jesus. That body was still on that cross. It was still hanging there limp. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He lived in that body for about 33 and a half years. And then He left that body, and He left that body on the cross. They went over. The Bible says in verse 33, they took that body down. And He took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone wherein never man before was laid. Please understand something. Jesus Christ was no longer in that body, but He did not cease to exist. In fact, He had a few places to visit, amen? He had to go down in the lower parts of the earth for a while. Then He had to make a couple more visits on the earth. And then He had to be ascended up in the book of Acts, straight up into heaven. And He's alive today. Now somebody says, how do you know that? By faith we know that. We've never yet passed from death, this life, to the other life, but by faith we believe it, we trust in it, and may I say to you, what God wants for us to do is commend our spirits to Him. And trust Him with it at death. Father, at death, would You make me unafraid? Could I see it the way Jesus saw it? Could I just simply understand that I am passing from this body and from this life, and as a saved person transitioning into Your presence? Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You're doing well. Stay with me. You say, man, what are you doing, preacher? Somebody about to die? I don't know. That's the whole point. None of us do. Come on, amen. Does anybody have it on your calendar? Anybody put it on your day timer? Plan on dying this day? Brethren, we don't know, do we? Therefore, we should be prepared. Our mindset and our attitude... You say, what are you doing? He authors our faith, and He wants to finish and complete and mature our faith. And one of the things He does not want us to do is be in bondage to the fear of death. Stay with me. Look at John chapter 10. And notice, if you would, verse 17. There's something about the Lord. You know it already, but I want you to see it. Therefore doth My Father love Me. Why? Because I lay down My life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received My Father. Brethren, when the Lord gave up the ghost, it wasn't because any man took His life. It was because He gave His life, and He yielded up His spirit. And please look up here. He died willingly. Yes. He came to the place, and He knew what was going to happen. He knew when it was going to happen. He knew why it was going to happen. He let them kill Him. He let them take Him. At the appointed time, He said, it is finished. Wait a minute. Not just His life, but the work that He came to do. Amen? Our salvation, potentially our salvation, was finished. Father, into Thy hands I commend, I commit, I entrust My spirit. You know what He's saying? Here I come. I'm coming back. His job was done. Do you really believe that? I mean... I know that. But I mean, do you really believe that? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen anybody die? Have you ever seen them alive and then a few minutes later? Not. At least the body, not. Have you ever watched it? Brethren, I want to say something. You know how real this is? I watched a man years ago who'd come to this church in his bed at home. His body had turned a yellowish color. He was still breathing but laboring very, very heavily. He was a saved man. He was born again. He said, Pastor Fisher, come here. And I came right up next to the bed, and reality sets in when you look at a man's face, and his face is yellowing, and he can do nothing about it. Say, what a morbid thought. No, he was getting ready to leave. And he said, Pastor Fisher, I want to talk to you for a minute. And he's, Pastor Fisher, I want to talk to you a minute. And so I said, yes, go ahead, brother. He said, no, come closer. And I was right there. He said, come closer.
And I leaned over, and he took his hand and pulled my head down right there. And he said this, "I'm going to die." I thought, and I'll never forget what he told me. In fact, he commanded me. He said, and a tear started streaming down. He said, "Take care of my wife. Promise me you'll take care of my wife." And he was yelling almost as much as he could. "Promise me you'll take care of my wife." And when you're looking at a man face to face, you don't want to say, "Let me think about it." And now I was crying. And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll do what I can to watch over her." And by the way, we have. I walked out of the room. He called his wife in. And within 5 minutes after he had said goodbye to his wife, his spirit left. Have you ever seen the reality of it? Brother, this book is true. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm telling you, it is true. Jesus laid his life down, which means this. His spirit left that body. But here's what he gave in his example to us. "Father, into thy hands." And may I say this? What more important is there than your own spirit? Put a price on that. I understand our children's spirit, but brother, when you think about it, somebody says, "What's the most important thing to you in your life?" Well, our children maybe, or our wife, or our spouse, but brother, outside of that, if you say, "What's most important to me?" It's where our spirit's going to go. In John chapter 10, look at verse 28, brother. Verse 28, stay with me. Watch what he says. "And I give unto them," what? Say it. "Eternal life. And they shall never do what? Perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's" what? "Hand." Brother, may I say to you, the reason he commended it to his Father's hand's never lost anything. Everything that goes to the Father's hand is safe and secure and protected, and nobody can get it out of there. That's why he said, "Hey, if you're going to commit your spirit somewhere, give it to the Father's hands. He'll take care of you." I believe that. And Jesus yielded up the ghost, and his spirit left that body that day. I want to ask you a question. How many have already committed their death to God? Wait a minute. I want you to think about it. How many of you all in here has already said, "Well, I didn't quite say it that way, but I understand what you're saying, that at the time of my death, I'm trusting what this book says. I'm trusting what's depicted here. I'm trusting what Jesus went through. I'm trusting all that. I'm not putting my faith in myself. I'm not putting my faith in Buddha or Confucius. I'm not putting my faith in some kind of human reasoning. My faith is squarely centered in our Lord Jesus Christ." How many of y'all? Now listen, may I say something to you right now? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? I wouldn't wait another moment. Amen. I mean, you say, "Well, I'll do it tomorrow." How do you know when you get in your car today where tomorrow will be? You see, you got to understand this, brother. At death, the spirit can go one of two places, according to the Bible. It either goes to be with the Father, or it goes away from God. Is that right? Let me just say very clearly, if someone here has not made that choice, and by not making a choice, you have made a choice. If someone does not trust Christ as their Savior, they've already made a choice. And the choice they've chose
is that at death, that spirit and soul leaves that body, and if you would, goes to a holding place called hell. Somebody says, oh, don't say that. It's true, isn't it? Isn't that what the Bible says? Come on. And then after the time period is over, hell is delivered up to come to the great white throne judgment. And then he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. What he's saying is, you've never been born of the Spirit. You were born of the flesh, but you've never been born again. And then they will be cast out into the lake of fire. Is that what the Bible says? Somebody says, don't tell them that. That'll offend them. It would offend them if they don't know. Somebody has to tell them the truth, amen? Well, you're glad somebody told you the truth. It's not to condemn you, it's to say, hey, make the right choice before it's too late. I got to tell you something. There's another path. It's simple. Absent from the body, present where? With the Lord. How do you get there? Well, you've already started the path being born again. If you've been saved. You see, we're born in the flesh and then we have to be born of the Spirit. In fact, you understand this, we have to accept Christ as our Savior, repent of our sins, and the Holy Spirit of God comes in us. We're quickened. And then our spirit is His. At death, here comes another one. You mean it's a transferal? You mean people leave this life and go somewhere? Absolutely. Absolutely. You mean you really believe that there are, you know, souls up in heaven? Yeah. He even given them robes until their body can be redeemed. My point is this. Yes, they're up in heaven right now. Literally. You mean physically present there? I believe that, don't you? What are they doing? Saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Don't they get tired of that? I don't think so. Not when you see what God's done for you. The wonderful thing about the doctrinal theology about passing from death into life is that we have hope. Somebody says, I don't understand why you go down there to church, you know, study the Bible, sing some songs, y'all give money down there, and then you didn't pay and you didn't get anything, and then you pick up some gospel tracts and go tell somebody else about what you've been doing at church. I don't understand that. If you understand salvation, if you understand the resurrection, if you understand eternal life, how could we not tell somebody about the path that leads to God or the path that leads away from God? It's our life's purpose to tell other people there's hope after death. Hey, you know what Easter is for us? We're out conquering the land. We're trying to tell other people about our Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to tell other people there is hope. There is life after death. There is a reason for church and a purpose for living. And may I say something to you? It's a wonderful purpose to lift our Lord Jesus Christ up and to trust our Father and to tell others. It's so good to see people get saved. Not only does it change what happens after death, brethren, but it changes what happens in this life. Okay, all right. I'm willing to commit my death unto Him. Well, let me ask you a second question. How about committing your life? Well, now, wait a minute. It's okay, He can have my death. But I don't know if I want Him to have my life. That's a whole different story. I mean, okay, all right. I don't have a problem saying that. Death, Lord, I commend my spirit unto You, but you know what? I don't know if I want to commit my life to You. May I say to you, the most wonderful life you and I can have is when we commit it to Him. And He begins to direct us and guide us. And may I say this, even make changes. What we do, where we go, what our purpose and our plan is. I tell you this, I think I've told our church before. At 23 years of age, I chose and planned to, number one, never get married. Number two, at 23, I knew I would never have any children. I was not a Christian, but I knew. I didn't want the responsibility of a wife, and I did not want the responsibility of children. Somebody says, your plans changed. Yes, they did. Drastically. But may I say to you, after salvation, I'm as happy as I could ever be. There's no more happiness that I can have. And I'm not just saying about myself. We could go around the room today and say, what did you have planned before you got saved? What did you have planned before you got saved? What were you doing before you got saved? What was your purpose before you got saved? And most of you in here today, after you got saved, would say, you know what? I've got a better life now. I've got a better plan now. I've got more joy now. I've got more happiness now. I've got a purpose now. I've got a life now. Before I just had an existence, I didn't know what I was doing, but I'm sure glad I got saved. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing to do, even for this life. I met my wife in our church. Not this building, but our church. Over on Amherst. That's where we met. She was singing in the choir. And I was this good-looking guy. In the pew. Don't say that was a long time ago. But we met in church. My point is this. If we wouldn't have got saved, we wouldn't be with each other now. I enjoy my wife. I'm happy. We're friends. But don't you all get irritated at each other? No, never. What are you laughing about? We have fun together. We have a purpose together. We encourage each other. I'm never going to get married. Her biggest fear is that I will die before she does. And she will be left with all the children to raise. She's told me a couple times, you better not leave without me. You see, brethren, we talk about this thing like this life is just temporary. It is. We're just passing through. Hey, this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. We're just down here for a short period of time. In fact, it lasts about that long. If it's a vapor, why shouldn't I commit that to him? Why shouldn't I give that to him? We trust our death to him. Why don't we commit our life to him? You say, brother, this is a more Sunday night message. Oh, no, this is a Sunday morning message. You say, I think I already have. Maybe God's saying to you this morning, why don't you give me a little more? Why don't you commit at a new level? I realize you committed a year ago, but why don't you commit to me now with the understanding that you have? Let me have it. And let me show you what I can do with it. Let me show you how wonderful I can make it. Let me show you how I can take nothing and make it into something. The Bible says without him we can do what? Nothing. But with him he can make our lives that was nothing into something. Sometimes I think it's good for us to say, Lord, at a new level, I'm giving myself to you. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. How much more can you give than that? And that was our example. But you know what he said? Jesus, I do always the things that please him. Statement. The last thing he did pleased God. From the first to the last, and brethren, everything he did in between, it pleased God. Would you agree with that? Do you know he was always asking the Father and praying to the Father, and he was saying, I am the Father and the Father and me. Have you ever just thought, God, direct my life, control my life, you make the decisions for me, show me, and then help me to be willing to follow you. Wait a minute, stay with me. I want to say it again. Lord, honestly, I have a plan. But I want my plan to be your plan. Therefore, I'm willing to forget my plan and do your plan for me. I want to tell you I'm willing to do that, but I'm not always, and I'm
not always. I'm a little stubborn, Lord. But Lord, I'm willing to be made willing so You can get glory from me and I can fulfill Your purpose. Please look up here. Even at death. We tell our young people, commit your life to God. Let Him choose your spouse. Come on, amen? Let Him choose your husband. Let Him choose your wife. Let Him make the choice. Don't we tell them that? I mean, we preach to those teenagers, commit your life to God. But I think every once in a while an adult needs to stand up and say to other adults who've been saved 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 and 30 years, let's recommit our lives to God. I'm talking about let's pick our Bible up every day. And let's read it every day. I'm saying every day let's make prayer a part of our life. I'm saying let's go out and be witnesses for Him. I'm saying let's go back and reevaluate and you say, well, I'm already doing that. But what part of our life is there that He wants? That He doesn't have yet. There's something that He wants from all of us at a new level. And if we just walk out of here and say, oh, that was good for so-and-so. Well, I tell you what, Jeff Wade really needed this message. And no doubt he does. But more importantly, we look at ourselves because one day, we won't look through a glass darkly anymore. We'll see Him face to face. He's real. He's alive. Death is just a transition time. And it's facing every one of us. You say, oh, no, the trumpet might blow and we might go out of here like that. I'm hoping for that too. Brethren, I don't know if I want to go through turning yellow. But I don't have a choice. How about you? You see, one thing about the Lord, He knew what was going to happen. One thing about us, we have no idea. That's what faith is. Teenager, commit your life to God. Commit your life. And every once in a while, God would say, how about yours? How's your commitment? What is your commitment? Why don't you just come before me, boldly to my throne, and say, here am I. You bought me. You paid for me. You own me. I'm willing to commit my death. I'm willing to give You my spirit. But I'm asking You to take my life and use it. Purposely pausing. Because He wants it. Last night I got up about 3 in the morning and walked down to my children's bedroom. I looked in and I thought, I'm glad I didn't get my way. I walked to another bedroom and I looked in. 3 boys in there asleep. And I thought, I'm glad I didn't get my way. I'm happier being the daddy to these boys than to have my way. My way was a chicken way. My way was a way of no responsibility. God's way was a way of joy. Yes, with suffering and heartache. And I walked to the 4th bedroom, 3rd bedroom, and I looked in. And that 20-year-old girl was right where she was supposed to be. And I walked to that end bedroom, Say, how many bedrooms you have? A few. Then I walked back up to our bedroom. And there was two children that had crept their way into our bedroom. A one-year-old and a three-year-old. I looked in there and I thought, God's way is so much better than our way. I don't know what He has for you, but this morning, before we leave, why don't we just surrender a little bit more? We've given Him our death. Let's give Him our life. Let Him take nothing and make something out of it. You say, well, I think He's already done something. I know, but maybe He wants to do more. Our something may not be His something. He may have so much more. Let's all stand. Stretch for a moment. Now, brethren, everybody, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just for a moment, please. Please. We'll get out in just a few moments from now. We think, oh, this is a Sunday night. Oh, no, this is Sunday morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you've never received Christ as your permanent personal Savior, if you don't know if you died, if your spirit is already commended to Him or not, if you're not sure of your salvation, we don't condemn you, but there's two paths that your spirit could go. One is towards God and one is away from God. It all hinges on what you do with our Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I'd ask you this. If you're not sure if you'd die right now and go to heaven, absent from the body and present with the Lord, could I please beg of you to at least let me pray for you? I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. But eternity could begin at the altar, an eternal life today, or not knowing, death and the transition out of this life could come quickly. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, please, at least include me in on that prayer before we leave. Would you slip up your hand and say, that's me. God bless your hand. I see you, sir. Yes, ma'am, I see you. I will pray for you. Someone else. I should have raised my hand. I didn't. Pray for me. I'm going to pray for them in just a moment. The Christian, could I ask you to do something? How long has it been, husband and wife? Since you got down, grabbed each other's hand, and said, let's recommit our life together to God. How long has it been, single person? Since you just said, Lord, I've surrendered, but maybe there's something more you want of me. And if you'll help me, I'll give it to you. If there's something you want me to commit, I'll commit it. If you'll help me and show me. I've got some plans, but I'm willing to let you tear up my plans for your own for me, if that's what you want. I say these words, but I need the faith to do them. Because not only did Jesus say, into thy hands I commend my spirit, but He put actions upon it and He yielded up the ghost and did it this morning. Even if you're new to the Lord, saved in the last 6 months, 5 months, 3 months, year, it might be a good time to say, Lord, I yield myself more to you, not only at death, but at life. Father, I pray for those who raise their hands for salvation. And God, you know this early morning, I've already committed to you in a greater way, as far as I know how to do it, for you to have more of me, have all of me, so you can take nothing and make it into something useful for you this morning. I beg of you, in the balcony, in the back, make a pew or make an altar out of your pew. Come and use an old-fashioned altar. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking about you. And don't think that God will ever reject you. He won't. He can use anybody. He can use anybody from a background. If you'd like to come, come. And use an old-fashioned altar this morning. And just say, God, please, with the rest of my life, what's left, please, take it and use it. Please, I beg of you, with a little bit of time I have left, redeem that time, Lord. Make it purposeful. Make it useful. If I'm going down a direction that you don't want me to, then show me so I can turn around. God, open the doors before me that you want me to go. Take me through the trials that you want to take me through. Help me to be what you want me to be. We tell our teenagers that we need as adults to go back again and revisit our commitment. You say, I'm 45 or 50. I've already committed. Maybe there's something he wants that he doesn't have yet. We're willing to commit to him at death. How about committing to him more at life? I'm trusting you, Father. I'm committing. I'm commending my life to you at a new level. I think I've probably took back part of it. I want to give it back to you again. And if I've given you everything, then I just want to come and say thank you for receiving it and using it. You're a wonderful, wonderful God. If your need is salvation today and you raised your hand, you can slip down to the front altar. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved, or right where you're at if you want. You could say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. I've broken your rules. I've broken your law. And God, more than ever, I realize my need for forgiveness. I'm willing to repent, allow you to change me into what you want me to become. If God's given you a good life, why don't you thank him? If God's given you what you never thought you wanted, but now you don't know what you could do without it, why don't you thank him? Why don't you praise him a little bit? Let a little incense go up from that temple you live in. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with loving the life that he's given us in this world. And I'm not saying love the world, because we're not supposed to love the world, but we can love the life that he's given us to live for him. It's an abundant life. It's a joyous life. Yes, the trials come and the troubles and the storms. But it'd be good to get to the end of the whole thing and look back and say, we finished our course. And it wasn't our course, it was God's course for us. Thank him a little bit. Praise him a little bit. You say, but I'm just irritated with life. Praise him anyways. And everything give thanks. Thank him for the trials and the trouble and the tribulation he's allowed your way to help you to grow, and me too. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Let's all stand. The instrument's still playing. Would you do something? Would you turn around and tell the person behind you it's good to see them in church today? And I mean that. You never can tell what they've been through recently. Turn to the person in front of them. Tell them how good life is to you. Tell them how good God's been to you. I know we tell each other how many trials we're going through, but it'd be good to turn around up in the balcony. Turn around and tell somebody how good God's been to you today and through his life. We've got a wonderful, wonderful God. Now, if you would, look right back up here a moment. I'm going to dismiss you. Where's that Bee? Bee? It's Bee Bennett. She's coming to join our church today. We're happy to have her. And let's see, is it Shannon coming today for membership? Glad to have you as a part of our church. I'm going to do this. I don't want your roast to burn.
I got a... I should say I get to. I get to go home and eat with that family I never wanted. And you get to do something today that you never wanted to do, whatever it was, but God allows you to do it. And you ought to thank Him that He's given you that opportunity. Come and shake Bee's hand and Shannon's hand and welcome into fellowship. Shake each other's hand. Hey, we'll see you at Skyline tonight. We've got a wonderful God. Don't forget that, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed today.